This is a Dreamcast disc and is for use only on a Dreamcast unit. Playing this disc on a hi-fi or other audio equipment can cause serious damage to its speakers.
Dreamcast, up to 6 billion players.
Welcome back to the stage of history.
Why don't we play together?
Hey, it's time to make some crazy money. Are you ready? Here we go!
Please stop this disc now.
Hello and welcome to the Dreamcast Junkyard Dream Pod in association with Radio Sega. Hello to any of our fans joining us here for the Winterfest 2019. Of course, the guys did this back in 2017, Mike and Tom. So thanks to the guys for letting us be part of this again. I am joined today. We've got a couple of different roles. I'm joined first with Lewis. Hello, Lewis. Are you okay?
Yes, I am good.
Lewis is one of our co-hosts, and then we've got our main man, Sega Mike, who is in the producer role today because he's going to be bringing us in some tracks that we talk about. Hello, Mike.
Hello. It can go horribly wrong, but stick with us.
It will go horribly wrong. I'm convinced of this.
It's all right. It doesn't matter. We're in a season of things going wrong, so stick with us. We will try our best and not destroy the world whilst we're recording this podcast.
Yeah, we'll do it. Okay. So, just to touch on that theme, let's get this podcast done. There we go. Right. So we have been
too
challenged.
Soon, man. Too soon.
Too soon. Sorry. Thank you to Radio Sega for inviting us to do this. We have collected some of our favorite music songs, which was easier for some of us than it was the others. I've talked before about music just doesn't seem to go in my brain. But Sega are definitely one of my favorite game composers, I'm going to say. So we are going to go in with a song that has been selected by myself, one that you've possibly never heard before on a kind of best of Dreamcast tune. And that is the tune The Power from Virtua Tennis. So we're just going to hear some of this now.
Thank you.
Right, guys, so that's my choice. Virtual Tennis is a game that I know the other guys have played. And it's, I know it's probably a unconventional favorite song, but because it is, it's effectively just kind of background to the action. But the fact that it's such a catchy tune, it's got that brilliant kind of Sega vibrancy, Sega arcade feel, is why I love this. So, guys, were you aware of that song? Or did you know what it was when I picked that?
Sort of. So you play the game quite a lot. The problem is it's one of the most played games on Dreamcast, probably. But actually, I think I actually remember the soundtrack to Virtua Tennis that well.
For me, that's probably why it's why I think it's a good soundtrack, because it has gone for that kind of background, almost like elevator music style of music for the game. And it's really catchy, and it just kind of really ties into the kind of punchy sharpness of the game. And we've spoke before about... that, like, Virtual Tennis, specifically Virtual Tennis 2, is still the greatest tennis game ever made in any system. Not unrivaled by the newer versions. It's one of those rare games where Virtual Tennis 3, 2009, and Virtual Tennis 4, I believe, are the ones that have come out since there. They're not bad, but they just don't quite capture that same type of magic. And it's definitely one of my favorite games on the system, and that music, like I say, is something that I think is really kind of when I hear that, I'm like, yes, it's tennis time.
I think we say it's like background music, but I think it's a little, I think we need to give it a bit more credit, you know, more than elevator music, because that song, if you put that in the background of a Sonic game, would fit perfectly. Like, it has that same Sega energy to it, you know. The guitars just sound like they're straight out of a Sonic game, and you, I think you'd expect it to have a worse soundtrack than that, perhaps, because of, you know, the subject matter. But, you know, that's pretty rad. I love that.
Yeah, I love that as well. It's if anyone likes that, the music on the Sega Rally, I believe it's called Sega Rally Revo, when it was released as a digital download, or the Sega Rally game that was on Xbox 360 and PS3. I feel like the composers were really kind of influenced by that kind of punchy arcade Sega. So I would recommend checking the music out for that, if not the game, if you are into that. So now we're going to move on to our next song. Mike, this is one of your choices.
It is, yeah. So I will play the song. I think everyone knows what this song is going to be. Let's talk about it afterwards.
Thank you.
So that was a Mexican flyer from Space Channel 5, which I think everyone probably recognized. If you're a Dreamcast fan and you like music, why wouldn't you like Space Channel 5? That the one we just played there was the original version. So I'm not entirely sure if that actual version was in the game or just on the soundtrack, actually. But either way, it's a fantastic song. And I'm sure my fellow podcast hosts, who I'm sure have played Space Channel 5, if they haven't, they can hand in their Dreamcast membership and leave. We'll know how important that song is and how incredibly catchy that song is.
Yeah, I do you know what? Every time it comes up, or every time we put out a poll about favourite games, I always think I need to go back and play Space Channel 5 because I've not played it in so long. And I was going to play it maybe about 2 weeks ago, but I was going to play it via the Dreamcast Collection disc, but that the Space Channel, it's part two that's on that, the 360 version at least. It doesn't, that game doesn't install on the Xbox One. It's not backwards compatible. So Crazy Taxi and Fishing, Sega Bass Fishing do, but that one doesn't. So I was a bit disappointed by that. But hearing that, I felt like I was back in film school watching like crazy 60s, 70s Italian style like cop movies or like crime movies. It's just got such a great like I don't know what the word is, feel, ambiance.
Yeah, very 60s sort of feel, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
I have played Space Channel 5. The only thing I'll say about myself and the game is I'm really not very good at rhythm games. I think I've got quite bad reaction times. But everything I did play of Space Channel 5, including this song, which as soon as you played it, you know, it's been a while since I played Space Channel 5, as I said, because I suck at it. So I don't play it as much as, you know, you, for example, probably do, Mike. But yeah. Yeah, I recognize that track instantly, even though it's been so long, because it's just an instant attention grabber, and it fits. It almost feels like, I mean, like you say, it does have that kind of, was it 60s vibe to it, the game, but in a way, it almost feels like a soundtrack like that. It'd have something else as the soundtrack, but that just fits so perfectly, and it almost feels like it shouldn't, but it does. And I think that kind of encapsulates Sega during that era, really, like what they were doing, you know, just going all out wacky, you know.
Yeah, whilst we were talking, I've just grabbed my copy down off the shelf. I've put it on a little PAL. I'm gonna have a go of that tomorrow.
Nice.
And I will adhere to the safety instructions that says preferably the game should be played on a small television screen. So that's a very, very specific and least odd suggestion, if I'm honest. So we're going to be moving on to song number three with that safety advice firmly in our minds. Lewis, is this one of yours?
Yes, it is. This is a track from Shenmue 2, and it doesn't have an official title because, unfortunately, Shenmue 2 never had an official soundtrack release. Hopefully one day it will, probably won't at this point. But maybe Sega will try and cash in a little on that Shenmue 3 hype that's maybe still there. Fingers crossed it's still there. Hopefully we'll get Shenmue 4. But this piece is commonly referred to as airing out the books. Thank you. some people listening to this right now might be thinking, oh God, because they know that airing out the books minigame from Shenmue 2, the one where you carry stacks of old books out of a temple so they can be aired. I know that this game is not everyone's cup of tea because there are tutorials on YouTube that show you how to glitch the game so you can skip it. And there's people commenting on it asking if the glitch still works on the HD remaster. So I think people really hate this bit of the game. This mini game you have to do every single morning. It's compulsory. And this song plays. So it's basically enough to get it drummed into your head. But I feel like what I love about it the most is how optimistic it sounds. You know, when the game starts, Ryo, he comes into Hong Kong, he gets his stuff stolen. The people there are a bit unwelcoming and cold towards him because he's an outsider and he's poking around in their business, as Ryo often does. But then he meets people who welcome him, and he starts doing this airing out the books job as part of his training at the Manmo Temple. And I feel like in that at that point in the game is when you start to have kind of a vision about what's going to happen going forward. And I feel like the song being so bright and optimistic really adds to that. And it's really catchy. And I have a bit of a thing for songs on the Shenmue soundtrack in general. I love the traditional instruments that they use. And, you know, the composition starts off light, but it gets even more richer and more beautiful as it progresses. So, yeah, I really love this one. If you've played that mini game, you'll know it off by heart, I guarantee.
All I can add to that is my impression of Ryo. I see. Because I have no other context for it. We are going to move on to a game that needs no introduction. So take it away, Mike. Right, so this is Mike's choice. I'm going to kick to him in a minute, but I deliberately wanted very little build time between the previous song and that because they could not be more different in tone. Obviously, that is Samba de Janeiro. I hope that pronunciation is correct because I know we've got a big Brazilian audience. So obviously, it's a classic from Samba de Amigo, brilliant Dreamcast game, defining game. Mike, why did you choose that?
What can I say? It's Samba de Janeiro. It's a fantastic song. I think, again, there's like maybe five or six songs on the Dreamcast which sort of define the console, I think, along with Mexican Flyer already played. And things like, you know, the Crazy Taxi soundtrack. Yeah. There's certain songs which just I think everybody in their heads has.
Brilliant tune. It's one of the ones that I'll frequently listen to sometimes in and around the house and have always done. great tune, and I really, really love, is it Sonic All-Stars and Sonic Transforms yes. Racing?
Yeah.
The Samba, Samba levels on that with that music are absolutely brilliant.
I think it perfectly encapsulates the sort of the Blue Sky
yeah,
Sega.
Blue Sky markets. Sega spirit. Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. Right, we're going to move back on to my second choice, and then we're going to take it away now.
Look at the funk. Could you stop playing with that radio, Lord? I'm trying to get to sleep.
Right, so that is Let Mama Sleep from Jet Set Radio or Jet Grind Radio. Little kind of amusing tidbit. I was really struggling to think of any songs at once put on the spot because I am like that with everything to do with life and video games. And I suddenly thought of that yesterday when I was baffling my little girl who is three. And as soon as I put that song on, she immediately stood up and started dancing and asked what it was. And that was the only time I've ever had any confidence that I was doing parenting correct. So we, I know Lewis, you posted out on the channel, the Twitter channel, for people's suggestions in relation to this episode with Radio Sega, and that was one. Well, it's one that we always get masses of responses about, isn't it?
I think that. The Jet Set Radio is more than just, it's one of those games, I've never seen a game quite like it where there's just something about it, it's almost like a culture now. You know, we have culture in the Dreamcast community, but Jet Set Radio is almost branched off into its own just monster of a thing. You know, There's the Jet Set Radio live playlist, and what I love about that is that people are so love this soundtrack so much that radio has basically gone out of its way to search for songs that feel in that kind of same way, the same style that Hideki Naganuma, sorry if I pronounce his name badly, but he's a legend. People absolutely love the compositions.
Yeah, great chance. Since finding that playlist on YouTube. I've listened to it, the whole thing, all the way through twice, once on my way to work today and once on my way back. And it makes the hour and 10 minutes commute so much more enjoyable just to be blasting that out and imagining everything is cell shaded around you. Right. So we're going to be moving on to Lewis's song. And here we go with this, the second choice from Lewis. Right, guys, that is from D2, which was featured on our Halloween, our horror podcast.
Late Halloween.
Late Halloween, because we are not very organized or good with timings. That was on there, one of your choices, Lewis, wasn't it? So could you talk us through that masterpiece of a atmospheric track?
Yeah, D2, if this is like the plug for the last episode. So obviously don't just quit this episode, listen to this first, then go back to 68 if you've not heard it. It was a really good episode. We discussed the Dreamcast horror games, and obviously one of them was D2. The community voted on it, and you know, it's a fantastic game. I'm not going to go into why it's so good, because like I say, there's the episode, and I'll probably be holding up the episode for about an hour if I carry it started going on now. But I think one of the things about that game we discussed that was so good was the atmosphere. And this one in particular always stood out as being, it's, you know, the best way to describe it is it's just so beautifully melancholy. And I feel like it kind of captures the whole feeling that Kenji Ino was going for in D2. So yeah, I actually found it randomly before I actually played the game. It was just, there was a top 100 best video game playlist of music of the tracks from video games, and this was on it, and I was like, this is really good, and I ended up playing D2 after. So I found the music first. So yeah. Cool.
Brilliant stuff. So hopefully you're seeing how kind of varied and diverse the Dreamcast soundtrack library is, at least. Now we're going to be moving back to our man Mike. So take it away, Mike, producer Mike, as you will now forever be known.
Right, so that is Sledgehammer from Battlecrust. I'm going to hand over to Mike here, but just before I do, that's the first time I've heard that on this show. Not only is it a brilliant song, but it is so genre appropriate, because I can I can picture the type of combat in my mind. So take it away, Mike.
Yeah, so that was it's a bit of an audible choice, maybe. It's from the original soundtrack of Battlecrust. Which came with the release from Josh Broad. It's a, if you're not sure of the game, it's an indie shmup from Josh Broad and Pickering Soft. So the song itself is composed by, I'm gonna absolutely destroy the pronunciation here, but Hayakitaro Sukumo. And the soundtrack itself, so I haven't played Battlecrust a huge amount. Or hadn't at the point. And I was just going through some sort of CDs that come with a lot of the indie games, and I was actually just ripping a lot of them just to sort of have as to make mix CDs as I do myself. And the Battlecrust soundtrack was probably on repeat for a good couple of days. A lot of the songs have that sort of 90s shooter theme, and it's a brilliant soundtrack, a video game soundtrack. Maybe not, you know, as amazing as some soundtracks on the Dreamcast in terms of their appeal, but for people who love video gaming of the 90s, it sounds perfection. Really good soundtrack, but the song itself is superb.
Yeah, I know. Sorry to jump on Lewis there, but he echoed my sentiments of this before. It's got such a Mega Drive feel to it, hasn't it, Lewis?
Yeah. What was it you said? It was a European shooter game sort of style. Is that what you said before?
Yeah. To me, it sounds like sort of a Turrican sort of mid 90s European Euro shooter. I think Pickering Soft, it might even be a Japanese developed game, actually. I know, obviously, it's a Japanese created soundtrack, but the game itself is just a vertical shooter, but it has that. The game itself is actually very much like a 90s shooter, so it's really fitting.
Yeah, brilliant. Right, now we're going to move on to what is my final choice. And I guarantee that within about 2.5 seconds, you will be picturing the screen that this is from in the game.
Get up.
we go. I'm sure you can also hear Professor K's voice over that. Well, I can't remember what it is specifically he says, but something about like he's talking about the crews in the areas, isn't he?
Yeah.
And like as the guys are like, well, the characters are like jigging backwards and forwards as you're moving through them. That song, I sometimes like, especially when I first got the game, and I mentioned on one of our episodes before, I first played it on the Vita. Sometimes I would just leave it on that screen for maybe like 5-6 minutes as I was walking around the house before I was ready to play the game. I'd flipping love that song. I'm showing my middle class nature there, but I absolutely love that. We said it before, but people love Jet Set and people love the music so much.
Yep.
I will admit to everyone out there that I, you know, because I have no witnesses, because I am merely a voice. No one can see me. I was dancing a little, I won't lie. Yeah, it's like a super funky track, and it just kind of like, you feel like the guys on the Jet Set Radio menu screen when they're sort of like dancing along to it.
Did you stay still for a bit and then imagine that the cursor had come on you before you started dancing and then moved off?
Absolutely. I was really selling
the bit.
Nerding out, yeah.
Right. We're going to move on and move swiftly on then from the uncomfortable image of Lewis dancing. We are going to go to Escape from the City, which most of you, again, are probably already picturing the scenes and the visuals that would accompany this. So that was Escape from the City from Sonic Adventure. Sonic Adventure 2, I believe. That's correct, yes, guys? Yeah. That's one that's, it just feels like it's got a timestamp on it. I feel like that could have been from some kind of early 2000s TV show that I would have absolutely loved. Lewis, that was your choice?
Yeah. Like the previous song, you know, makes you want to dance. I feel like you just want to bang your head to this. Like, it's super energetic. And one thing I was talking about before while we were setting up this playlist is that Sonic games tend to have really fantastic opening songs. You know, you've got Emerald Coast from Sonic Adventure. Green Hill Zone is obviously a classic. Can't forget Can You Feel the Sunshine from Sonic R.
Yeah,
I might be joking with that one, or I might not be.
It's a good song.
Great song.
I actually really love it, but yeah. Yeah, this one's even better because the lyrical themes of the guy singing are about the level that you're in. I just love that it's so almost a bit meta in that sense. It's great. It's one of those songs that I think I could probably just send a friend, not even tell them it's from a Dreamcast game, and they'd probably really like it, you know.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's a fun song as well, isn't it? I think that's there's so many soundtracks nowadays in video games are I sound like an old man, but they're really good soundtracks because they're, you know, licensed songs and good sounds. But actually, I feel like when the Dreamcast ended, there was a sort of an end of an era in terms of just happy, I don't know, joy, I suppose. It seems like the entire, it was a much earlier, much easier time before 2001, it feels. Not to get too heavy with everybody, but, you know, it feels like everything that was released was a bit more joyous and happy.
Yeah, I would describe that tune. If I did describe that tune to someone, I'd describe it as rad, which I would be using both intentionally and ironically at the same time. What do we need? I need you to get me a rad tune, please, to go with me. Go with the Sonic game. And the person would be like, yep, I know exactly.
Yeah, it's like a focus group song, perhaps.
I know what you mean. We can do rad. We that's not a problem.
The band Crush 40, I think this is by. So if you want to check out more of their stuff, look up Crush 40. They apparently do live shows, so maybe you could go see them and they could play this song and you could feel like a god in the crowd. Yeah.
Didn't they do a live show quite recently in London, as in like literally last weekend?
I don't know, but I do remember hearing something about them going on tour. I'm a little bit sad that I missed that.
I think a couple of people who sort of follow the Junkyard went. I think Lewis from Sega Driven, I think, went. Been on a podcast before. And a couple of other Dreamcast fans went. I'm saying all this, of course. Feel free to edit out in post-production if I'm wrong, because I don't want to look like an idiot again on a podcast and have more hate mail set my way.
We'll reach out to those guys and see if it was rad or not, and then where they'd rate it on the 1 out of 5 rad scale. So
I think it's an 11 out of 10.
11. This rad scale goes up to 11. On that note, we're going to move on to the next song. So, producer Mike, take it away, please. That is Stage 1 from Giga Wing, from Takumi, published by Capcom. It's got that kind of crazy Capcom feel to it. It feels like they've taken several genres and put them all in at once and then decided to get some guy to go, come on, over the top of them because they paid him to be there that day. And they were like, well, we've got to use this voiceover guy. Yeah. Mike, is there anything you want to tell us about that song choice from you?
I played this exact same song on the last time we appeared on Winterfest, and I picked it because it was an amazing song. It is the most fitting song for any game ever. If those who've played Giga Wing, or any shooter, I suppose, really. But, you know, you just want that sort of burst of excitement and intense sort of feeling, and that is the perfect song for it. I'm not usually a big fan of, even though I've two of my picks have been from shooters, bizarrely, I'm not actually a big fan usually of the music in shooting games, but I think those two songs have really encapsulated the feeling of a good shooter.
Have you ever played Giga Wing, Lewis?
I unfortunately haven't. It's one of those ones that I suppose is passed me by, but I think after hearing that song, I want to know more. That song is bonkers.
Yeah, it is bonkers. Mike, is my memory of Giga Wing right? I'm not very good at shooters, but is my memory is that game is brutally hard. Is that right?
It is brutally hard. Yeah, it's the game with ridiculous scores. So itself and Giga Wing 2 have, like, I think 75 trillion as the score. You get a sort of like 15 billion for every hit type thing. But it's properly hard. Yeah, it's a sort of a vertical pixel sprite-based, I should say, not pixel-based, sprite-based sort of game rather than sort of one of the 3D ones. So it does look a little bit archaic on Dreamcast, but it sort of makes up for it in just being absolutely brutally difficult if you play it at the right setting.
Yeah, it's one of those titles, especially in the PAL territories, that I noticed the price has just creeped up to kind of extremely steep.
Well, it's one of only a few shooters released in the PAL. You know, we only had Giga Wing and Gunbird 2. I suppose, you know, you could say Rez potentially if you want to include that as a shooter. But traditional shooters, there really wasn't many traditional shooters in the PAL territories. So that and Gunbird 2 have sort of shot up. The Japanese version. It's still pretty cheap. I think it's still maybe 30 quid now. It used to be a lot less than that. But it's definitely worth getting, but not if you want a sort of a deep, engrossing game. It is literally the kind of game you play for like 5 minutes, realize you're terrible at all games, question your sanity and your life choices, and then play it again in a year's time.
There we go.
So because it's so hard, are you implying that you hear this song over and over again? Because I just keep losing.
I suck at every shooting game. So apart from Zero Gunner 2, it's a great song. It's just I don't mind listening to it over and over again.
I think it starts off quite sort of like, oh, that's cool, and then it just goes into oblivion.
Yeah, I think I will clarify as well. When I say brutally hard, I don't actually mean it's necessarily the hardest shooter. It's just crazy. It's chaotic. Mm. I mean, when it's a sprite based game, but they decide that it's like Takumi, you've just gone, you know what? Let's get another 100 sprites on screen at once. Let's just throw everything at them at once. And it's actually in Giga Wing 2, there's a four-player mode. And I've always wanted to just have that moment of my life where I play with three other people in one of the craziest games already in single player and attempt to play a four-player game with that, because I can imagine it literally being hell. Yeah.
There we go. Something for the notes for the Manchester Play Expo scene potentially for next year then. Right. In what I'm going to describe as a brilliant masterstroke of curation and playlist building, we are going to go from a song that if you were on a library and you typed in Stress Attack, you would probably have found that Giga Wing music or very similar to something that is at the absolute opposite end of the scale. The mood to kind of get you in that chill out zone before you leave us on our magical tour here this evening on Winterfest. So take this away, please, Mike. So there we go. That is obviously the Choo Choo Rocket title screen. Lewis, everybody move.
Which yes.
My cue for you to take over. I've thrown him a curveball there, and he's just stood and watched it go by, thinking, why did we let Kev come back on?
We're so professional. We are the most professional podcast ever.
I will say, I mean this in the most endearing way possible. I feel like we've winged it quite a bit this episode.
I think but what threw him off, Mike, was I didn't do the full sound effects. So I didn't go, do, 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 everybody move. We shouldn't have bothered with the songs. We should have just let me sing them all. It would have been great.
This song is great. I love the fact that the drum loop is sped up to like times 400. That's my favorite part, because I think that just, I keep saying this word encapsulates, but that drum loop just feels like Choo Choo Rocket in a drum loop. Like Choo Choo Rocket is times 400.
I would say probably quite a few people, Mike, you would have been one of these, I imagine. And I have mentioned this before, but this game, it just turned up out of the blue when you put it in and you saw that title screen with a mouse and the cats. And you were just like, what the hell is going on? Who has sent me this game? What is it?
I think Choo Choo Rocket is that song there, just to encapsulate my feelings about that song. I don't know if any of you remember the classic and one of the greatest songs of all time, Banana Phone. There's a song called Banana Phone. If you haven't heard the song Banana Phone, then A, you went on the internet in 2002. Please go and listen to it now. But there's a YouTube video, an early video on the internet, of a sort of animation of them listening to this song Banana Phone and people's responses to it, where basically the head explodes because that song's in their head and will never escape again. And that's what I feel that title sound from Choo Choo Rocket is now done. I believe that is now going to destroy my mind, because that is now in my head, and it's incredibly catchy, but also incredibly annoying.
I just wanted to chime in here, just because I wanted to reiterate what we were discussing while the song was playing. You didn't hear this bit, but we were berating Kev for saying that this song is a stress reliever prior to introducing it. Yeah. And I'm not quite sure where he got that from.
No,
I think that's like proper like chill land music would be what my dad would have described it as, because he couldn't understand the difference between clubland and chill out music. So he used to, in that very dad way, merge the words together like that was acceptable.
I feel like it's more in the happy hardcore section.
Potentially. I love Choo Choo Rocket. When that was playing, I could hear the noise of the mice going into the ship. That little kind of electronic bleeping that they make.
So all I'm saying is Banana Phone. I mean, I'm annoyed that neither of you have heard the song Banana Phone.
Of course I've heard Banana Phone.
Oh, thank God for that.
I've not heard it. Is it anything like the Badger song?
Kev, no. Banana Phone's a masterpiece.
Right.
Search Banana Phone by Raffi. I did try and get my wife to allow me to play this at my wedding. I wasn't allowed, which annoyed me quite a lot. It is a masterpiece of songwriting. I could sing it. I'm not going to sing it because I wouldn't want to ruin the surprise for people who are on this podcast and I've not heard the song Banana Phone. But all I can say is in 2001, 2002, the internet was alive with this song.
Right. You know,
I mean, every single forum you went to, there was someone playing this song on some kind of like early, I don't know, real player video link. This is the greatest song of all time, and deserves everybody to listen to it. It's a superb song.
I'm gonna take that as a segue. So we're gonna go from the greatest song of all time to the second greatest song of all time, and this is one that you will know. That's all I'm gonna say. You will know.
Thank you.
Right, guys, for all your drinks needs, your cat food needs, your cassettes, your batteries.
Weird batteries, crisps, yeah. With the main character. You don't get the crisps game until 3 hours later. I mean, like, that game is just so... I don't understand why you're buying crisps with a character you haven't seen yet.
So that is obviously Tomato Store from the Tomato Convenience Stores from Shenmue. Obviously, it's not a serious suggestion, but it's a song that...
No, Kev, don't back down.
That was the only song, the man, Kev.
It's a legitimate choice. People deserve to listen to that song. It is a great song. Everyone should play the 99-minute YouTube video of that song played on a loop every day before they go to work.
My favorite thing about that 99-minute loop video was this comment I saw, which was, at the beginning, I felt really happy, and then 99 minutes in, I feel like I'm starting to question my existence.
I mean, like, there's again, I'm mentioning the greatest song of all time, which is really bad, but there was a tendency for a few years ago for people putting these songs on for a long period of time. And people sort of going, crazy videos. I have genuinely listened to a lot of these songs on 99-minute repeats because they're great songs. Tomato Store is a fantastic song. I work in a shop. I'd happily have that song playing in the background all day.
That's why no one in Shenmue really communicates with you properly other than says a few things. Yeah, or there's the lady, I can't remember if it's an old lady or an old man, that goes, I'm too tired now.
Yeah.
And that's it. They don't give you anything else.
They've listened to the same song for the last 99 minutes. Of course they're going to be annoyed. They've got the same song in their head.
I remember, I wish I could find it. It was a YouTube video I saw. It was like people had made this video, like guys had acted out parts. And it was like this, you know, these sort of My Strange Addiction videos you see, but they'd done like one about a guy who's addicted to Shenmue, and he like demanded his local supermarket plays this whenever he goes in. And I wish I could find that video because it was actually really funny.
This is the Shenmue 3 hashtag that should have been years ago. Instead of doing all this kind of stuff of petitions, we should have basically got every single Shenmue fan to take a recording of Tomato Store Convenience Store into every supermarket we could find and surreptitiously play it on the intercom so that every single shop in the country, nay, the world, was playing Tomato Convenience Store music at the same time. That's a missed opportunity. Adam Kowalik, I'm looking at you. You missed the opportunity. We could have had every single supermarket in the country playing that song.
Imagine a marketing campaign.
It'd be like that Chemical Brothers video where they have the radio, and then when anyone hears it, they start dancing. But when everyone hears this, they'll just be like, "Sega, make Shenmue 3, do it now!" And they won't even know what Shenmue is.
Exactly. What fantastic, you know, Shenmue lives.
Shenmue lives.
Right. So convenience store.
On that, we are going to leave you. Then that is the end of our time here. On the Winterfest 2019. We would like to thank all of you for listening, and we would like to thank our friends over at Radio Sega for allowing us to come back for what I'm going to imagine is the final time after ending with the Tomato Store music. So, guys, have you got anything that you just want to say in closing?
Yeah, I'm just going to say good luck to Lewis to edit this because it's going to be a nightmare.
I'm gonna I'll get onto that now, and you know, I'll stay up and you know, till like 4 in the morning.
Get that 99 minute tomato loop on.
You'll smash through it. One thing just to add is we all three of us, Kev kind of came in like a little bit later. We all submitted an article to the Saturn Junkyard. Well, we all contributed. May I correct myself, for the anniversary of the Sega Saturn, and we all wrote about games that we love. So go check that out. I think we had a lot of good fun writing our little bits for that, didn't we, guys?
We did indeed, yeah.
Yeah, definitely, like, huge Saturn fan, as I said, in mine. And it was great to go back to Tomb Raider, which, as I said, has got a brilliant, minimalist, understated soundtrack and sound score to it. Which I'd completely forgot about, if I was honest.
That we're tying it back to the music, you know.
It was such a fun article to write for. I've actually gone out and bought a massive Saturn bundle as well in the meantime, so there you go.
Of course you have.
Yeah, I have. You wrote about Winter Heat, Mike, I believe.
Oh, I love Winter Heat. Yeah. Oh, no, don't, because I'll do an entire podcast about Winter Heat. I can literally talk an entire episode about Winter Olympics, so don't get me started. What a fantastic game.
Well, it is Winterfest, after all, so, yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
I like it.
We are not going to be able to top that, so thank you to everyone for listening from us at the Dreamcast Junkyard. You could check us out at the DC Junkyard on Twitter, the dreamcastjunkyard.co.uk for our blog site, where all of our articles and content goes out, and then the Dreamcast Junkyard on all other forms of popular social media and communication tools. So thank you very much, guys, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the Winterfest 2019.